Welcome everyone again to the Sunday service at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest. I hope everyone's doing well, staying healthy. And if you're not, remember, give the church a call and we'll pray with you. So let us know if you're not doing well, but we pray everyone is. We're praying for you every day. And we sure miss being together here. It's so wonderful to have that fellowship. You know, it's been said that you don't realize what you have until it's taken away. And you really realize that when you can't gather for fellowship. So I can't wait until the Lord works things out. I just wanted to share a piece of scripture with you to encourage us all out of Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is in charge, and we thank him for that. Today, as we're going through the book of John, we're in John chapter 1, verses 31 to 51. So you've got a lot to read with me today. John 1, verses 31 to 51. And the message is, follow Jesus and share Jesus. We had a beautiful time of worship before the service. Isn't it great to worship the Lord? And we sang that song, Light Your Candle. And that's what we're here to do, is light our candle. We're to follow Jesus and then share Jesus. Get out there and share him. So it's time for our responsive reading. I will read verse 31 and the odd-numbered verses, and I'll ask you to read the even-numbered verses starting at verse 32 as we go through the end of the chapter. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.
Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples.
And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God.
The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated teacher, where are you staying?
He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ.
And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone.
The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see.
Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.
Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these.
And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. God, we thank you for your word today. We pray that we understand it. Guide us by your Spirit. And we pray we take it to heart and obey it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we start following Jesus as he walked through this earthly life. Previously, we studied of John the Baptist, the forerunner to the Messiah, one preparing the hearts of people to receive the Messiah, calling them to repent of their sin. And in verse 29, John introduced Jesus to the world. And we read in verse 29, when John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came as the sacrificial lamb to offer himself up as the atoning sacrifice for man's sins. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's all of us. We were lost in our sin. And we pick it up in verse 31. John writes, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water." Actually, John writes this, but it's John the Baptist we're talking of now, saying, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, so he did know him as a cousin, as a person, but he did not know he was the Messiah, it seems, until this time. Until the time that John was baptizing. And he was now pointing Jesus out to Israel and calling people to be baptized and repent. You see, our faith is all about Jesus Christ. Our faith is a person. It's not a religion. It's not a movement. It's not a doctrine of works. It's not a faith in some ordinary man. Our faith is in the one born of a virgin, one who died on a cross and rose from the dead, Jesus Christ. That's the Christian faith. And as Christians, we commit our life to Jesus, we receive him, and then we start following him. And that's what the life of a Christian is, following Jesus. We don't say we believe in Jesus and then he becomes part of our life. When we surrender to Jesus, he is our life. And therefore, we follow him. Not only follow him, though, and that's what the message is today. We not only follow him, but we share him. We are to share him. That's what our message is about today, following and sharing Jesus. In verse 32, it tells us John bore witness saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So John the Baptist is saying, the Lord told me to do this, to baptize, to call people to repentance. And I was told there would be one who would be baptized on whom the Spirit would descend, and this would be the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. That's a sign. God said, "John, here's a sign." God would affirm that he is the one. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And when we get into John chapter 3, verses that many of us know in John 3, it talks about being born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into more of that when we get into John chapter 3. But what John is talking about, when we're baptized into the Christian faith, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we're told in the Bible that we become a new creature in Christ. We have this spiritual nature. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, we're told our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're new people. That's why we call it being born again. So John said this is what would happen, that the Spirit would descend upon him and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, we see this account in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. So let's turn back there to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. This event that John is talking about. In Matthew 3, verse 13 to 17. We read here, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So I'd say that's quite a sign. God speaking from heaven, no doubt about it. He's the Christ, the Messiah. And John writes about this experience. You know, in the book of John, John 20, verse 30 to 31, we read about how there were signs given to verify who Jesus was, so that you may believe. And this is one of them. And we read that in the book of John about these signs. And they're given, why? So that you and I may believe. So in verse 29 and in verse 33, we see the mission of Jesus. In verse 33, we read, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So we see two things that were the mission of Jesus. Verse 29, he came as the Lamb of God to take away sin. And the other thing, in verse 33, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit, which enables a person to become a new man in Christ, to walk in the light of that newness of light. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 16, please. John 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Jesus speaking to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit, because we see in verse 26, "The helper, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name." So you see, the Holy Spirit was with people, but once we're born again, the Holy Spirit will be in you, he's telling his disciples. And so we become a new creature in Christ. And now we're going to follow Jesus in this book as he walked on this earth. Not all written about him, but enough to believe. Verse 35. "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" John the Baptist was with two of his followers, and we've gone over this before. He was a very humble man. He didn't ask people to follow him. He always pointed people to Jesus. And so he's with two of his followers, John the Baptist, but he sees Jesus walking by, and he tells them, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who came to give his life a ransom for many. There he is. Behold him. Look at him. Look to him." In verse 37, The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They decided to follow Jesus. John was doing a good job pointing people to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Boy, that was quick. They just followed Jesus. I wish that would happen to everyone. They hear about the Lord and follow Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? I know it'd be awesome for them, a much better life. The Lamb of God who takes away sin. So we're to follow Jesus and not man. And Jesus engages them. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" We'll see, and we see this in the Gospels, Jesus draws people out. He draws people out to get them to come to him, and he challenges them. He says, "What do you seek? You're following me." They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, which when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He draws people out, and he says, "What do you seek?" And immediately they say, "Hey, where are you staying?" In other words, we want to know more. We want to hear more about you and from you. We just want you. Where are you staying? Please let us come. Look at Jesus. He said to them, "Come." Isn't it nice to be invited by Jesus to where you're staying? Jesus inviting them to his place. "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. And we know the first hour was 6 a.m., so it was about 4 p.m. What a blessing. Isn't this exciting to watch Jesus work now and call people? He said, "Come and see." He's still calling people to come to him. I wish they would just come and follow Jesus. Now, in verse 40, one of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So one of the guys was Andrew, Peter's brother. You know, we hear so much about Peter in the Bible, but his brother Andrew was first, and he brought Peter. That's important. Andrew, believer in Jesus as the Messiah, he's now spending time with Jesus. And we're going to see here in verse 41, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "Hey, you're Simon, the son of Jonah. But you're going to be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. He brought him to Jesus. What a nice brother. He brings his brother to Jesus. And it's good to bring people to Jesus. And Jesus engages him. He looked at him and he said, "Hey, you're Simon. I'm going to give you a new name," which is translated a stone. Or in our day, we might call him Rocky. Here he was stone. He translated his name to stone. Cephas, Aramaic, Peter, Greek, Petros. Jesus now heads north to the Galilee region. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Same words. He seeks out another person. "Philip, follow me." What a simple call. And guess what? Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and he followed Jesus. Boy, those are quick decisions. "Follow me." And he follows him. What a simple call. Now, these Philip and these other guys are from that region. And so Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip tells Nathanael. And we can see how this just keeps going. The name The name of the message today is Follow Jesus and Share Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We see how we got here today from people following Jesus and sharing Jesus, because God uses us to get the good news out. So in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "Hey, we found him, the one that's been prophesied of, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, raised by Joseph, but born of a virgin birth. God the Father is his father." And verse 46, I feel sorry for Nathanael here. He must have got a lot of flack about this after, because Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Hey, Nazareth was not a nice place. It was not the better place to live, not a good area to live in. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, I guess the answer is yes. The Messiah could come out of Nazareth. But see, rather than Philip argue or get into all those things, he did the right thing. What did he say? What did he say in verse 46? Come and see. Hey, check it out for yourself. Invite people to come and see Jesus or hear about Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Hey, look at this good Jew. No guile, no deceit. An Israelite. He's all right. In verse 48, Nathanael doesn't argue. He'll accept that. He said to him, "How did you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." He was stunned. How do you know me? How do you know I'm a righteous guy? I saw you before, when you were under the fig tree, where no one else could see you. See, Jesus always sees us wherever we are, and he knows us and knows where we're at. This impressed Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He acknowledges who he is. Wow, you know a person, you know his heart. You're the Son of God, the true King of Israel. How wonderful. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Oh, you're going to see so much more. Just follow me. In verse 51, he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." There are two thoughts here. One is out of Genesis 28, verse 12 to 17. You remember Jacob's ladder? Let's turn to Genesis 28, verse 12. Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. Speaking of Jacob here, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, the east, to the north, and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' Then Jacob awoke from this sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" So that's one thought, that this is speaking of seeing that. Another thought is, speaking of Jesus, in that future day when he comes back to rule and reign. And the angels are his servants ministering to him while here, traveling between heaven and earth. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see? We will. We'll be with him in the millennium, reigning with him for 1,000 years. So our message today is follow and share Jesus. What do we call that? You know what we call that? And I can hear some of you saying it, and you're right. We call that evangelism. It's not very difficult, is it? People think I can't evangelize. That's a big word. We see it happen in our text today. We believers are to follow Jesus. We are his disciples. And what did Jesus say to be my disciple? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's not complicated. It isn't hard to follow a person, unless you're following a person that's driving and you're driving and they speed and go through lights and stop signs and, wow, hold up, I'm getting lost here, slow down. I followed people that I can't keep up with, but I've also followed people that, hey, come on, let's get going. When you follow Jesus, it's just right. But like when you're following someone, you follow Jesus, what is the right thing to do? Never let them out of your sight. Stay close. He said, follow me. Following Jesus will lead to sharing Jesus. It will automatically lead to sharing Jesus. Because you have something so good in your life, you want to share it. When I find a good restaurant, I can't now. It's been 6 weeks since then. But when I do, I like to share it. Hey, here's a good place. I like to hear people share it too. There's nothing better than Jesus, the bread of life. Share him. He is our life and our hope. He is the best thing we have in our life. The only hope that man has is Jesus Christ. All else will fail. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything here will one day end, but Jesus will be forever. Satan wants people to follow the world or to follow other human beings or to follow one's own mind or feelings or fleshly desires. That's what Satan wants. But where does a life like that end? Where do they end up? They end up in the lake of fire forever if you don't follow Jesus. Following Jesus not only leads to an abundant life here, but eternity in heaven with him. Even Christians need to beware, because you can miss out on what God has for you in life if we're not following Jesus. We cause our own grief, because as we follow Jesus, it means we're on one road, heading in one direction and headed to a good place. And he loves us and will protect us and care for us. So we need to make sure we're following Jesus in life, obeying his words and not other leaders or people or self or desires. We follow Jesus. We don't follow a religion. We follow Jesus. Real life is in Jesus. Life is following him. He is taking us to a great destination. Would you agree? Well, then we need to share Jesus, because we want others to have the same thing. We need to pass him on, just like we read of these early disciples. See, God doesn't desire that any perish. He wants all to be saved and to end up in heaven with him. Now, let's look at our text today. We see this evangelism taking place. Verse 37. The two disciples heard him speak, and they did what? Followed Jesus. Don't you love it when it's that simple? They followed him. Once a person hears about the Lord, they should repent, believe, receive him as their Lord and Master, and follow him. Just follow him. It's not complicated. You don't have to have these thousands of questions answered. When you hear the Lord speak, just follow him. Don't miss out on your first love. No one will love you more than Jesus. And if you hear him speaking and drawing you, just follow him, or you will regret it. Follow him and let him be your first love the rest of your life. They just followed him. They heard him speak, they followed him. And verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They followed him, no hesitation. Verse 39, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? They heard him and they followed him and they listened to him speak. We hear, we listen, we follow. They want more of him, verse 39. He said to them, come and see, when they asked, where are you staying? They came and they saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. They wanted more as they were following. How does that take place in our life today? We go to church. We go to Bible study. We listen. We listen to our Lord. We meditate. We have fellowship with him. We just should have that desire to be around Jesus, just like these guys. And as we're following him, as we don't lose sight of him, as we follow him close, we'll be learning more and more about him. But that should be the desire of our heart. Verse 41. What's the first thing Andrew did? He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Andrew was first in the family and the first to go to family. First people he went to was family, his brother. That's good. When we find Jesus, it's good to share with our family. We found him. Verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. It's good to bring people to Jesus. And then Jesus will give them this new life, and they will start inviting others. You know, in Psalm 34:8, it tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. A person's going to have to come and see, come and hear that the Lord is good. See for yourself. Verse 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, what? Follow me. Now, this is a little different. We think of evangelism and sharing Jesus. We see these others bringing people to Jesus. Do you notice here with Philip? Jesus found Philip and said, follow me. So we see here someone directly invited by Jesus to follow him. Maybe a person's in a family where they don't hear about the Lord, or no one's a Christian, or no one's sharing with them, or they live in an area where there's no one sharing Jesus, or they don't know anything about it. They don't know how to be saved or anything. And so often we wonder, well, what about these people over there where they never hear the gospel? What's God going to do about those people on the other side of the world? The Bible says, if you seek, you will find. And God also seeks people out, but they don't listen. Because here we see, he saw Philip, he found Philip, and just two simple words, follow me. Maybe in your life, before anybody shared with you, You started becoming, for some reason, spiritually sensitive. And maybe you said, well, is that God? Well, I'll tell you what, if you hear him, just follow him. Sometime my wife will talk to me because I was the first one to start going to church out of the clear blue. She says, once in a while she'll say to me, once we moved out here to California is when we became Christians after a few years and we heard people sharing the gospel. And she said to me, what made you go back to church? Why did you ever start going to church out of the clear blue? It was just something in me. Now I know God and his spirit that was drawing me. And I simply started following that call. And it started in a church where I wasn't born again and people didn't really believe in that. But it led to me seeking God, just keep following Jesus, wanting to learn more. And then it came. So sometimes it's a direct call from the Lord. Follow him. Don't analyze it. Don't try to figure it out. Just do it. Jesus personally invites him to come, follow me. Just do it. Verse 45. What did Philip do with that? He found Nathanael. Now we see the sharing again. And said to him, we found him. We found the Messiah. The prophets wrote about him. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He found him. Sharing with Nathanael about the Savior being here. Nathanael's a little pessimistic at first in verse 46. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? People might say when you share, well, who's Jesus? Might say the same thing. Who's Jesus of Nazareth? What makes him different than any other person? Why do you say it's him? I would encourage you to say the same thing that Philip said. And what did he say to him? Well, come and see. Come on to church and check it out. Let's sit down and talk. Just say, come on and see for yourself. Rather than get into these big debates. See, evangelism is pretty simple because God is drawing us. It says, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So there's this drawing. So we have to count on God doing the work. We plant, you know, we water. But God gives the increase. Just be very simple about it. Come and check it out. Because we might not have the right answers for the person. So he says, come and see. And what happens? Nathanael took him up on that. And as Jesus saw him coming toward him, he says, hey, I know who you are. I saw you before. You're a good man. Wasn't that neat? See, as a person comes and God is drawing them, they will be blessed. They will receive. We see true evangelism here. And you know what? No theological degree required. Anyone can do this. Just tell people, follow Jesus. Come and see for yourself. What is required to follow Jesus and to share him? Well, we see that in Acts 4, verse 13. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The disciples were being used to preach the gospel. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, calling people to the Lord. Now, in verse 13, we read, when the people saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. People sometimes eliminate themselves from sharing the gospel because of fear, because of personality problems. I can't do those kind of things. I'd get too nervous. I don't know enough about my faith, or I don't know the right words to share for evangelism. I don't have a degree, or I didn't really get into really studying the Bible. And people sort of eliminate themselves. These people simply follow Jesus and share Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's come to forgive you of your sin. Anyone can do that. The problem is, not all choose to do that. What did the people see in these early disciples? They were uneducated and untrained men. So don't feel bad. Uneducated and untrained men. They perceive that. So somehow their speech, their knowledge, their understanding of things didn't come across as showing them very smart in the world. As well, who are these guys? They're kind of untrained, and they don't really seem to have much of an education. Could be their vocabulary. And they were marveling, wow, these guys are really drawing people to the Lord. Well, what was the thing that they had? At the end of that verse, they realized that they had been with Jesus. What did they have? They followed Jesus so closely, they never lost sight of him, that they became Christ-like. So they were just sharing what they had seen Jesus do and say. People marvel at these ordinary men. The only thing they realize, they had been with Jesus. They say when you live with a person for so long, you become like them. We can see that. My wife and I can finish each other's sentences. Say the same thing, like the same thing, do the same thing. I see that with children. You see a father, and then you see their son. Wow, they stand the same way. They look the same way. They do the same thing, talk the same way, like father, like son. Well, like Jesus, like son. You see, we follow Jesus so close that people see Jesus in us. He rubs off on people if we follow him closely. They walked through this life on earth following Jesus, their master. And that led to sharing Jesus because they said what he said and they did what he did and they lived like he lived, and they loved like he loved. It's that simple. We don't have to go to school to learn how to love, or how to live, or how to forgive. We do it because we follow Jesus, and he shows us how to do it. He tells us how to do it. They had been with Jesus. What does it mean now to follow Jesus? What does it mean? Because they were following Jesus. It's not just going to church on Sunday or attending a Bible study during the week. Those are the times we hear the Lord speak to us and we worship him. Those are equipping us to do the work of the ministry. What is following Jesus? People think of it as a spiritual thing. It's just following Jesus through this life, no matter our condition, every day, every hour. Following him means we're going to be on the same path, doing the same things, and our actions will be Christ-like. Well, what was Jesus doing and saying? As if we follow Jesus, we're going to probably be saying the same thing because he's our teacher. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So these are the people following Jesus. And what is he saying to them? He opened his mouth and he taught them how to live, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A Christ-like character, humility. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourn over sin. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be full. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We'll be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers. We're not dividers, we're peacemakers. We bring people together. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that awesome? We will be doing that or be like that as we follow Jesus. It's not something we read in the Bible and say, I'm going to work on this. No, just picture yourself every day, every hour of your life, at the workplace, along the beach, in church, wherever you are, on the street, in the mall, just following Jesus, and your reactions and your actions are just like him. It's like the old saying, what would Jesus do? See, if we don't lose sight of him, we'll just be doing the same thing. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Wow. That's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. And do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. We usually like to revile back. Someone says something to me, I got to get one better back at them. That's not the word of the Lord. That's not following Jesus. Following Jesus, he says, love your enemies. Someone curses you, bless them. Those who hate you, do good to them. For those who spitefully use you and persecute you, do good to them. Pray for them, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Wow. But I can tell you this, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't do this. But we can with the new life we have in Christ. This is radical. But this is following Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, just obey the red words in your Bible. And you'll be following Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Following Jesus, we'll be forgiving people. We won't be holding grudges or anger toward anyone. I would encourage you to just read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's Jesus leading his people through this life. This is how to do it. He's the template. And it can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. He loved. Jesus loved. He forgave. As we read the Bible, we can go on and on and on what it means to follow Jesus. It means to take his way of life, his words, his way of living, and apply it to ourselves. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Because we can lose sight of what it means to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Master. I'm following him. No, following him means I'm really living my life the way he would live it, the way he would want me to. I love the way he loves. This week, I would challenge all of us, myself and all of you, to check ourselves out. Are we following Jesus? Are we following our flesh? We're going to be disappointed a lot at the things we do and say. We need to be honest. But know this, it can be done as we follow Jesus. check ourselves out. Is my mind on the things of this world? Or is my mind on the things of the Spirit? What is occupying my mind? Again, you might get a little discouraged with yourself. But remember, Jesus is the one we follow, and through the power of the Spirit we can do. You know, we need to love and do exactly what he did. Their qualifications for evangelizing was they had been with Jesus. If we live this way, we would stand out. Let our speech be filled with grace. Let us be merciful. Let us be peacemakers and have peace ourselves, because we have the peace of the Prince of Peace in our hearts. God, we thank you for your word today. Help us to just follow Jesus. That's all we have to do, is follow Jesus. Live as he lived, love as he loved, obey his word, never lose sight of him, always submitting to him. Help us to do that, Lord. I pray that in this day and age we live in, where it seems to be closer to the rapture and the end days, let us shine and stand out as lights in this dark world, so that people can be drawn to you as they ask, what is it that we have? Why do you have peace? Why are you just not worried, but trusting God? And let that be an opportunity to share Jesus. Let them know it's not us, it's not our good works, it's not we being so great, but it's the Holy Spirit living in us that gives us the power to live this way. I would pray, Lord, for all those we know that are not saved. Please draw them to you. Give them faith to believe. Let them see you in us, Lord. Let us be that pattern of good works. Let us have Christ-like behavior so that we won't confuse people, but they'll know what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit, and let each thought we have be of the purest kind. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. And we thank you for the great work you're going to do for us. And Lord, we pray for our country, our world, to be safe, if it's your will, at this time. Please end this coronavirus. We pray for all those that have lost loved ones, who are grieving, hurting. Comfort them. Let them know you, the God of all comfort, is there for them. Draw people to you through this. Those that are hurting and sick, we pray for them, that they would be safe, that you would heal. We know you're doing something, Lord. We pray for your perfect will to be done, but we do pray for mercy and grace upon us. Pray you would help us, Lord. But most of all, that you would help us to stand fast in you, so that we are good representatives. The spiritual is more important than the material or the physical. So help us to keep our mind on things above and not on things of this world. And we pray this all and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.